Hi, my name is Arya Kaplan, and today we're going to be learning Shkolim, Chapter 3, Mishnah 4, and then Chapter 4, Mishnah 1. So we discussed earlier in the Masechta that three times during the year they go to the place where the Shkolim are held and remove three baskets of Shkolim. So the question now is, what happens after the first one? So the Mishnah says, Tarim es harishona. So after you've taken the first removal, you cover the remaining money with a katvelos, right? And what is that? That is a type of leather. So you put a leather covering on it. And shnia, the same thing. After you take it out the second time, and you cover it again with a leather covering. So the third time, you need not cover the shkolim with the leather. So what's going on here? Basically, we'll see in a minute, the Mishnah will explain, but basically what's happening is that the coins came from different parts of the world at different speeds. The people who live closest to Yerushalayim got their coins there first. Then the people who lived a little bit farther got their coins second. Then the people who lived the farthest got their coins there the third. So they would basically, after each time they would take shkolim coins, they would cover with leather, so therefore they knew which section they took from, and then when the new coins would come, they would put them on top of that leather. So this way, when they did it the second time, they would take from the new coins, and then after the second time, they would cover that pile with leather, and when the third coins would show up to the business, they would put them on top of the leather, and this way, the third time, they would take from the new coins. And the Mishnah says, Shema Yishkach Vichom in Adavar Torah. And the reason why they put these leather coverings on is because they feared that perhaps they would accidentally take from the same coins twice. And it's not really fair. They wanted to give everybody an opportunity to have their coins being taken from. Tarmet Harishon al-Shem Eretz Yisrael. And when they took out the first withdrawal, which was in the month of Nisan, they took out that first withdrawal. So that was done in the name of Israel, the people living in Israel. And although the Tosefta says explicitly, they took out from the coins of the people living close, but when they took it out on behalf of all of Israel. Ushnia l'shum krachen ha-mukafen la. And the second time they took it out from the coins, basically from the people that were in the near to Yerushalayim, nearby cities. Vashlishis l'shum Babel l'shum Mada l'shum Medinas Rehoz. And the third withdrawal was done with the name of Babel, the name of Madai, and the name of the states very far away. So everybody's coins had an opportunity to be taken from, but really each time they took out a withdrawal, they did it on behalf of all of Am Yisrael. That concludes the third chapter. Now continue on the fourth chapter, Mishnah 1. Hachuma. So now, they were to take out these coins, these half shekels. Mahayu Osinba. So what did they do with it, with these coins? Lochinba Tamidin. So they would take it to purchase the animals for the Tamidin, the daily offerings. Umusafin. And for the Musafin, additional offerings on certain days like Shabbat or Rosh Chodesh. Vinischehem. And the wine libations that come along with the Tamidin and the Musafin. Ha'omer, they would also use it to purchase the Omer offering, which came on the second day of Pesach, Ushtei HaLechem, and the Tulos, which came on Shavuos, V'lechem Apanim, and the Showbreads, the Kol Karbonos HaTzibor. And additionally, any sacrifice of the public, and this sort of seemingly superfluous point comes to include the incense offered every day, and the incense offered on Yom Kippur. Then the Mishnah continues that they also used it to pay Shomri Svichim Bashvias Notan Schar Mechumas Halishka. So what's this? This is the following case. That during the Shemitah year, it's forbidden to grow anything. The only thing that was allowed to grow were things that kind of accidentally grew in the sixth year, so there were seeds that got planted by accident could grow. And however, the basic thing, this is a problem, which is that the Omer and the Shtei HaLechem must come from newly grown product. So on the one hand, we can't grow it. On the other hand, we have to have these carbonos come from newly grown stuff. So they came up with the following solution, that since there's always some aftergrowth, they would hire people to stand by the aftergrowth and tell people, please do mind, don't take from this aftergrowth, we need it for the Beis HaMikdash. And those people who were hired to stand there by the aftergrowth would be paid from the money that was taken from the Lishka, that was taken from the half shkolim. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afarotza Minadev Shomer Chinam. Rabbi Yossi says that these people, the Shomer Svichim, if they want, they do not have to be salaried. They can say, listen, you know what, we were happy to work for the Beit HaMikdash for free. Amrulo, the Tanakhama, said back, Avat Omer Shinon Bain El Mashiv Sibor. So they said back to him, don't you admit that the Omer and the Shelecha must come from the communal offerings? So what is going on here? What's happening is the following. Rabbi Yossi basically believes that if the fellow who would watch it for free, if while watching it for free by accident or even on purpose he were to take the barley or the two lech, the items needed for the barley for the shteilechem for himself, he would still be able to donate it back to the Beit HaMikdash to be used for the communal needs. However, the Tanna Kamma believes no, that if he accidentally acquires it for himself, for whatever reason, once he acquired it for himself, it can never be used for community purposes. That's why we have to pay him. Why does paying him help? Paying him helps. Because he knows, he reminds him that he's out there doing a job. And also, if he's being paid, there's no fear that he may take it. He knows he's being salaried. There's no fear that he may take something else as a salary. So they say, we force you to pay him, because we want to make absolute sure that he doesn't accidentally or purposely acquire this barley for himself, because otherwise, if he acquired it for himself, we would not be able to use it according to the Tanna Kamma in the Beit HaMikdash as the Omer offering. Hope everyone has a great day.